just 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I am Brady Hull, joined by Jaden, or J Dog Millionaire, or Jimmy Dean. Man, we got some great nicknames already. Excellent work by you. Fun stuff in that first hour, man. A lot of UNC, but I mean, why not? They're doing amazing things right now. That last night was friggin' awesome. We'll probably try to get Coach Steve Smiley on at some point. We get him on all the time, and I was like, last week I think we got, I heard Dorian Green on, another assistant coach with Jerry Schimmel, who filled in for Tanner. I heard Houston Reed on, I had Coach Smiley on, and I'm like, where's our boy? Corey Faringer, we got to get him on. And so I love that coaching staff. They all are just so much fun to talk to. They treat you like human beings. They sit down and talk to you about basketball, about life, whatever. They're genuine. Corey busting over here to get in studio. I mean, love it. And, of course, you guys know how I feel about the players. Great, great players. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is up. It's at theholeshow.com. We'll be talking to Zach Stevens about this a little bit later. Of DNVR Broncos. The Broncos have the 8th best odds to win the Super Bowl next year. Why so optimistic? And the options are Aaron Rodgers and or an elite quarterback is coming to town? Should have been just or, probably not and or. You don't want Aaron Rodgers and another elite quarterback. That wouldn't make any sense. You think Nathaniel Hackett is going to be that good? Or outside of QB, the Broncos have a pretty solid roster or other. A lot of hooligans like to select other. Just to give you a picture of the hooligans, Jadeen, you're learning about them slowly but surely. They like to go against the grain 98% of the time. So if I don't put an option up that they like, they come at me. Why isn't this option there? Why isn't that there? Come on, man. So it's fun. But right now, what's leading in the clubhouse is you guys believe Aaron Rodgers is coming to town. 30% say outside of quarterback, the Broncos have a solid roster. 15% say Nathaniel Hackett's going to be that good. 7% say other. All right, so I don't believe any of the other stuff. Like, I think Nathaniel Hackett's going to be fine. Who knows? He may be great. He may be terrible. Whatever. I don't buy that the Broncos have a solid roster. I like their roster. I like a lot of pieces on their roster. But I really believe they have a lot of work to do in this offseason. And that comes with just taking care of their own guys. Now, don't get me wrong. If the Broncos sign and bring back everybody from last year, it's the same exact team, save for the quarterback. Is that a roster good enough to go to the playoffs and then you plug in a better than Teddy Bridgewater quarterback? Essentially a better than average quarterback? I think you're a playoff team. I think if Teddy had been better than average, you're a playoff team. And I'm going to say the same thing for Drew Locke, even though you guys know my feelings on the whole Drew Locke situation. But for whatever reason, Locke wasn't there. So if you get better than average quarterback play, and who is that? Is Carson Wentz better than average? It looks like the Colts are ready to move on. Is Jimmy G better than average? And I don't think I don't think either one of those guys is the answer. I think you're wasting more time. I do look at this situation, and it's, to me, it is elite quarterback, draft pick, or Drew Locke. And I know you hate JD, and this just makes your skin crawl. The idea of Drew Locke is just absolutely erroneous to you. But I'm telling you, if it's not an elite quarterback, then you need to make it a quick decision. Do you put in a Carson Wentz type guy that's going to probably just be average? I mean, is Carson Wentz now, is it fair to say he's an average quarterback?
Yeah, I would say so. But where I feel like a lot of the critics are getting their optimism from just all the changes that have come to the team. I mean, we're going to see new ownership, we've got new coaches on the horizon. I think that they see a change of pace, and I think that that's where a lot of the optimism is coming from. The Broncos are definitely going to be a dark horse, but I think that that's just my view. I think it's going to be because of a lot of change coming to the town.
Yeah, I think you listen, there's just a lot of question marks surrounding this team, even beyond just your typical, you know, what's the quarterback situation look like? You keep saying stuff like retool and like kind of not necessarily a rebuild, but a retool. And if it is in any of that re-territory, you're probably going to go with a young guy. You're going to go with a draft, somebody you draft, even though this class is allegedly not going to be very good.
I almost think that's what you have to do. I mean, to bring in another quarterback, I mean, it's comparable to the same situation as Manning. Not in the sense of, like, money-wise and logistics, but playing ability, you're going to bring in a guy who's experienced in that of Aaron Rodgers, if that's the route you go. And you're gonna dump everything you have into this one guy just to have a maybe semi-good season. You're not going to go to the Super Bowl, in my opinion. But you might have a decent season. You'll go maybe second round in the playoffs just for it to be followed by six trash years behind that.
Playoffs would be huge right now. And, I mean, that's the first step. I mean, our expectations have certainly changed over the years. But, I mean, what are those chances? I mean, we keep saying Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and as if those are realistic options right now. Well, right now, both franchises have dug their heels in and are saying, we like our guys. We're gonna fight for our guys. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers has a bad relationship with the Packers right now. I think that frustration or whatever might have got resolved. That doesn't necessarily mean he's not going anywhere. It means some of that stuff did get resolved. Now, if you're the Packers, you have to figure out not just a way to sign him, but you have to complete some. You have to have some pieces surrounding him, and that's bringing back some of the. They have a lot of free agents up, so you got to bring back some of the guys that, you know, he's going to deem necessary. Obviously, number one is Devontae Adams, but you can franchise tag him. I think there's a lot that's going to have to take place in order for the Packers to lose this situation, to lose Aaron Rodgers. I think they're going to go all in. ESPN has Aaron Rodgers as the one to bet on as far as MVP next year. ESPN put that story out, I should say. According to Caesar Sportsbook, he's plus 700 betting favorite to win a co-betting favorite, I guess. Can you guess who the second one is? Who they believe the co-MVP, like as far as the favorites go?
That's tough. Who do they have in mind?
They got Patrick Mahomes and then Josh Allen.
Okay.
And then Joe Burrow. And then Justin Herbert.
And those are all the guys that you're going to have to compete with.
Right. And they think maybe Rodgers is better than all of them. Look at this. Of all of the quarterbacks in the MVP odds race already, take Rodgers out, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Herbert, top four. Outside of that, so Matthew Stafford is 15-1 odds. So he's sixth. Derrick Henry is sixth, 18-1 odds. A running back. Lamar Jackson's 22-1 odds, another AFC. Derrick Henry, AFC. Lamar, AFC. Cooper Kupp, 25-1.
Well, that's never going to happen. He just put together arguably the
If best. He didn't win it last year, he's not winning it this year.
Yeah. I mean, and who's to say a wide receiver ever will? That's arguably the best, if not one of the best, seasons ever put together by a receiver.
Yeah, I mean, if he didn't win it last year and Derrick Henry didn't win it, 2 years ago when he got the 2000, we're not getting there unless you have bad quarterback play. Like up and down the board, you have the best quarterback is putting up, you know, maybe what the top seven guy does or something like that. So they certainly believe that Rodgers is a favorite to win the MVP. Does that mean one way or the other as far as does he do it with the Broncos? Does he do it with the Packers? I still think the Packers have the slight edge, you know, on paper based on guys you're bringing back, have a little bit better of a roster than Denver. They had three Pro Bowlers, Rodgers being one of them. The Broncos had zero. And I do think that if you want to put position by position next to each other, the Packers probably win that battle. So I am confused as to why so many people think that this Broncos roster is just a quarterback away. Again, last year, they were a quarterback away from going to the playoffs. They're not a quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl. I still need a couple of pieces. Now, do they have a shot if there's Rodgers? Of course they do. That'd be stupid of me to say they don't. The Titans have a shot to win the Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. But you have to complete the team. You know, you have to find your strengths.
That's exactly what I'm kind of saying. Like, to be a Super Bowl caliber team, you have to be able to come out and compete with these teams. You have to be competitive with all of these teams that have a number of different tools. I mean, the Bills, in my opinion, are going to be the team to beat next year. I think that they've just got so much going for them, and the momentum and the way they lost this season, they've just got a lot going for them. But why not take a step back, use your salary cap to fill some of these holes so that you can go out and get one of these better quarterbacks, not next year, but the season after, where you can look more competitive with these next teams.
So do you just stay with Drew Lock then? I mean, because a lot of what we're saying here, and I know you're saying it, you don't want to say it, but you know if you want to do that strategy, don't draft somebody in this class that you want to replace anyway. You don't want to draft anybody any that you're not going to be there in the long term. So you're not going to take him at number nine. If you take a quarterback at in the third round, fourth round, okay, but you're not going to take a quarterback in the first or second round that you don't believe is going to be part of your big picture plan. And you're not going to go after, you're not going to sign a Carson Wentz, Jimmy G to like a 5-year deal either. So if it's not elite, I mean, I know I'm the only one in the world saying this, but is there a chance you ride it out with Drew Lock one more year, finish his contract, and then you see where you are when it comes to draft picks?
I think logistically that would make the most sense. It's not going to be the fan favorite option, but I mean, you're not going to draft a quarterback first or second round anyway because there's not a quarterback to draft first or second round. The quarterback caliber in this draft is just not up to par to where it normally is. So it'd be silly to take a quarterback when you can fill these gaps that I've been talking about. Fill those gaps, establish a solid team, and then build a quarterback around that team.
It'll certainly be interesting to see how this goes down. 18 minutes after the hour, we got to take a short break. We got Mike Brohard coming up from CSURams.com. Tickets are filling up fast, man. You better get one if you want to go see CSU play Wyoming next week. I think you've got like a 1 in 20 shot now because it is going crazy, and the Rams are cashing in. Wow, this is another amazing team to follow. 18 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1. And 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for that, J.D., and I really appreciate that. Joining me now from CSURams.com, Mike Brohard, also RamWire Insider. And I know Mike was just not a fan of The Rock and that intro for the Super Bowl, so I couldn't help myself, my friend.
I almost hung up.
So you're not going to do the next pay-per-view with me? You're not going to do Royal Rumble or anything, man? I was hoping I could invite you.
I just thought that was so overdramatic, staged. Just, you could look at the sidelines when they were panning the sidelines, and the players are like, "Are you serious?" And the coaches are like, "Can we just play already?" That was just so made for TV and so unnecessary. It was too over the top.
I'll admit, he could have cut it a little. Like, it should have been more, in my opinion, just more concise. But he did kind of drone on for a little bit. I would have been better with it if it was just a bam, like 15 seconds of it instead. But he went on for a while. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that went on for about 5 minutes too long, and I think it took all 5 minutes. Yeah.
How about the halftime show? Were you into that?
I was good with that.
You
I
liked
mean,
it?
I liked the halftime show. I thought it was great. it was funny because I knew I went directly to Twitter because I knew like half the country was going to hate that. And so I wanted to read the reactions to how many hated it. And then it happens every year, no matter what the halftime shows, you have that a large percentage of the population goes, best halftime show ever. And people seem to forget that Prince put on that best halftime show ever. So until somebody beats that, and this one I would put right behind that, but still Prince was unbelievable.
It's so hard to do. I've talked about this a lot on the show. It's like, I mean, you're asking these musicians that have, they do shows that are typically, what, a couple of hours. There's a buildup leading into it. They got 10 minutes to make that thing perfect. And even when they do, as you said, no matter what, you're going to have half the population say it's terrible. So there's always so much pressure that comes with it.
No, I thought it was great. So the one year I covered the Super Bowl was Elway's last game. And it was right around the time when they really started getting into the halftime show and making a big deal of who was singing the national anthem. And Cher was singing the national anthem, and Kiss was performing like at halftime. And it was the greatest press conference I went to Super Bowl week, because Cher informed us that she never really, really listened to the Star Spangled Banner, but once she did, it quote unquote kind of rocked, which I thought was awesome. And then somebody asked Cher how well she knew the band Kiss, and she said, which ones? They said all of them, and she just replied intimately. So it was a great press conference.
There's so much that goes with it, man. It was a good game, too. Commercials, anything stick out to you with the commercials?
I love the return of the E-Trade Baby.
Oh, me, that was my favorite. Yep.
That just slayed me. I like that one a lot, and I hope they bring that back and just keep kind of rolling with that. But, no, I thought most of them were pretty good.
Yeah.
There were a couple out there that I was still kind of trying to figure out what the heck they're trying to sell, but, you know, that's okay.
When you're too, like, that's what I'm saying. If you have no idea what just happened at the end of the ad, I don't know. It's probably not a good thing. All right, Mike, so I want to take my father-in-law to, he's been dying to go because he went to CSU, he went to Wyoming both, so he's dying to go to this game next week, CSU-Wyoming. I did just get tickets for us. As I got them, I just got a notification. I'm looking at it right now. Sold out. So, I mean, I think I've just barely got past it. It's absolutely nuts.
That's amazing. I mean, and it's a great run, and it's a team that's well-deserved to get this kind of attention. I know I was down here in Texas. We traveled yesterday with the swim team because they start the Mountain West Championships tomorrow. And some of the girls on the team were trying to claim their tickets, and it was like an overload of the ticket system, so they had to keep logging in to keep redoing it to get their tickets. So students are knowing they've got to get them early if they want to get in. But, no, I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited about it. There's a lot in front of us yet with this Colorado State team. I know that they got first things first. Every single game is so important in this conference. But, my goodness, what a crazy, crazy game against Boise State. That game had everything, Mike.
Oh, that was, to me, that was better than the Super Bowl. I mean, that was you had runs and you had just haymakers thrown on each side, and both teams were down and both teams had to fight back. But that was just a gigantic road win for Colorado State on the road to get that victory. And you know, you got a lot of important performances out of that. I mean, I thought Chandler Jacobs was just phenomenal. David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens were themselves. But, I mean, it was just they did everything that they had to do to get that win, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, no question about it, man. And you had, again, so many key players stepped up in this game. I Roddy does his thing offensively, defensively. I loved the block at the end. I got to say this, though. Chandler Jacobs was just, to me, he was the X factor in that game. It seemed like late in the first half they were having some issues with him, and he put that to the test in the second. He had some key shots, some key free throws, key defensive plays. When he's clicking, he is so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the kid has shown he's got an all-around game. He can defend, he can rebound, and he can definitely score. So he came up clutch for them, especially down the stretch in the second half and then in overtime, not just offensively, but what he was also doing defensively and rebounding, all of it was important. They needed every last ounce that they got out of everybody on that floor. And I thought James Moores, again, was pretty impressive when he played. And I thought John Tonje came up with some key plays. Those are the kind of things that you've got to get when you're going to win games like that.
Yeah, no question about it. It takes a little bit of everything to complete a victory like that, over in overtime especially. But, man, what a key victory for Colorado State to stay close in this race, too. With Wyoming, Boise State, and CSU, it is getting tight. I know Colorado State still has some huge games, too. As we talked about, the Wyoming game is there. Utah State on the road. Boise State again. So some big ones. And, again, you in New Mexico and at UNLV, we've talked about it, Mike. UNLV is one of those weird, scary teams that if they get rolling, they can upset you.
Yeah, I think they showed that at Moby Arena, especially if Bryce Hamilton gets hot and if you let him get going. That's one thing I think, you know, CSU is kind of looking at is they've had some players that kind of have gone off against them. I mean, you saw it a little bit. Bodie Hume was first one from UNC, really had a big game. You've had a couple of them that way. I think CSU defensively, the players, they kind of take offense when a player goes off against them. Whether they win, whether they lose, they just really don't like to have a player have a game like that against them.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, it's a fun time to be a Rams fan. There's so much going on. Mike, what are you working on, man, that we can check out at csurams.com in the next couple of days?
My time schedule is thrown off, but I think, what, is it 12? Is it 1:30 your time?
It is 1:30 my time.
About a half hour. Yeah, a story that I've wanted to do all year was really on, I thought, a key improvement in Isaiah Stevens' game was him cutting down his turnovers. That's the big difference in him. You know, I think he's still sitting sixth in the country right now in turnover to assist ratio. But the big difference has been he's really cut his turnovers basically in half and what that's led to for the team. And I thought it was interesting to sit down and talk to him about what he put into this summer to make that happen. And he's been phenomenal. I went back and looked at it. He's had four games this year with a high of three turnovers, but he's also had four games this year where he's had none. Last year, I believe it was, he had 10 where he had four or more, and he had a two-game stretch where he had 15 combined. So he's been remarkable in that regard. And I think that's made a huge difference for Colorado State's improvement.
Yeah, no question, man. Even when he's not scoring a lot, he is still impacting the game in so many ways. Mike, appreciate you as always. And I don't worry, I won't invite you to my next pay-per-view party, I promise, okay?
I don't mind the Rock. I just don't want him interrupting my kickoff, and especially in such over-dramatic fashion. It was almost like watching reality TV, which I just don't want to do. So there you go.
Okay, so Royal Rumble's back on. No reality TV parties. I'm just taking notes here, Mike, because I'm trying to make this the best experience possible.
You know, I grew up with All-Star Wrestling and the High Flyers and Bernie Gagne and going down to the Denver Coliseum to watch Precious Paul Ellering and Jesse the Body Ventura. Mm. I got no problem with wrestling. I just don't want The Rock interrupting my kickoff.
I hear you, man. I hear you. I will write a letter. Don't worry. I'm going to help out as much as I can. Mike, appreciate you as always, okay?
You guys take care. Have a great week.
All right, man. Mike Brohard of CSURams.com. I'm not even a wrestling fan anymore. I liked it. No, I know. Normally you guys are like, Brady, you don't like that kind of stuff. You're like the old man. But for some reason, The Rock, to me, there's not a lot he can't do, so I'm good with it. 32 minutes after the hour, we got to take a quick break. We got Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos coming up next. Why are the Broncos getting so much love from Vegas? Eighth favorite to win the Super Bowl. We'll talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Tell you guys about the GOAT. That's where the UNC Coaches Show is tonight. You want to hear from Coach Steve Smiley? We haven't heard from him yet on what a big night it was for the UNC Bears. Why don't you stop by the GOAT tonight? At 6 o'clock, we got the Coaches Show rocking and rolling, and you will not be disappointed. The GOAT Sports Bar is a high-energy local bar and restaurant proud to be serving the Greeley community. They got a 360-degree bar top. 36 HD TVs. So stop by and watch college basketball right now, or NBA basketball, or hockey. You got the Avs going at it tonight. So check out the GOAT. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Speaking of the GOAT, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos is joining us, our Broncos insider. Zach, why are the Broncos eighth as far as the odds makers in terms of winning next year's Super Bowl. What's going on? What do they know, man? What's happening?
I mean, it's just wild, Brady. They're ahead of seven other playoff teams from this year. That's half of the playoff teams. The Broncos have better Super Bowl odds, and it is clear why. The Vegas is scared of the Denver Broncos landing a great quarterback. And when we talk about great quarterback, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about Russell Wilson. If Deshaun Watson's stuff goes away and he's available, we're talking about Deshaun Watson. The Broncos would not have the eighth best odds if they landed a Jimmy G, a Kirk Cousins, a first-round draft pick. No, Vegas is scared of the Broncos getting one of these top-notch quarterbacks.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. Okay, Zach, tell me, you look at this roster, and I know a lot has to be determined still about everything for the Broncos. They got some free agents of their own they need to figure out going forward. If Rodgers instantly is a Bronco, do you, even though you got Josh Allen and the Bills, you got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and Baltimore, I think, comes back if Lamar can stay healthy. Obviously, Cincinnati is going to be somewhat in that mix. There's so many key – Justin Herbert, I haven't even talked about him yet. Do you really think that Rodgers elevates this roster as it stands right now, maybe a couple of free agents, a Super Bowl contender?
A contender, yes. But when we talk about contenders, and Brady, I think you did a great job pointing out, there's – 5 to 7 legitimate Super Bowl contenders in the AFC. So in reality, I think we kind of changed the word contender in a realistic point when talking about the AFC to a playoff team, because I could see the Chargers beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead in the playoffs in the AFC championship game and making it to the Super Bowl. So I have to include them in that group. I could obviously see the Bengals beating anyone. They did it this playoffs. And I could see the Broncos with Aaron Rodgers going into Buffalo and beating the Bills. And, of course, I can also see the Bills there. So when we talk about contender, especially with the way the AFC would be constructed, it's not as much of like, okay, they're one of the top two teams in the AFC, like we would be talking about if the Broncos were in the NFC. When we talk about Super Bowl contenders this coming year, especially if Rodgers leaves and goes to the AFC, we're talking about 5 to 6 contenders in the AFC, and we're talking about 1, maybe 2 in the NFC. It's just going to be so drastically different, and that's why if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm taking the easy path and just staying in Green Bay.
I'm with you 100% on that. And now you hear Green Bay saying, hey, we're digging in, man. We're willing to give Rodgers everything he wants as far as money. My question there is, though, you kind of got to be careful, right? If you give him too much money, are you going to be able to surround him with the supporting cast that he has made it very clear that he deems vital regardless of where he is?
Yeah, I mean, what's going to happen is they're going to do what the New Orleans Saints did. They're going to mortgage their entire future on these next 1 to 2 years, and they're going to make it very clear to Aaron Rodgers, look, Aaron, we're giving you everything we can, and we're going to be really bad, and we're going to be in a really bad situation after you leave, but we're going to do that to have you and to have Devontae Adams and to have these guys that you want around you so that we're not rebuilding. But don't get us wrong. When you leave, we are going to be rebuilding. So they're going to put themselves in an awful situation in 3 or 4 years from now, but it's to win a Super Bowl right now.
And that's what it's all about, right? I mean, I think this is interesting, Zach. You know, I've asked listeners this. Hey, would you sacrifice, again, a Super Bowl chance, one shot, just kind of like what the Broncos ended up doing. They got one Super Bowl, knowing that it would be followed by at least 6 years of bad football. 5 of those years, no playoffs. And I think most people say yes, because that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's about winning a Super Bowl. Not many teams have multiple Super Bowls. Not many teams have more than 3. So I guess with the Packers and even the Broncos, you can certainly see why, hey, we're going to dig in, we're going all in on this, and whatever happens, we'll pull a John Elway. We don't care about plan B because we're desperate for plan A.
And on top of that, Brady, especially when we talk about it for the Broncos, a lot of people do think of it like that. Would you take the next 2 or 3 years to be great, contend for a Super Bowl every year, and maybe win one, make 2, for then 6 years of really bad football after? But the thing is, the Broncos were historic in winning a Super Bowl, then missing the playoffs for 4 straight years. Then they extended that to 5. Then they extended it to 6. So typically, it's not that bad. You would just have to hope that George Payton figures out the quarterback situation better than John Elway did. And he can realize if he gets Aaron Rodgers this time, just like John Elway got Peyton Manning, that there's not just another Aaron Rodgers 3 years from now. You have to draft a guy and develop him. And then if you do miss on a first-round quarterback, like John Elway did with Paxton Lynch, you can't be scared off by that for the next 5 years. You have to invest in the quarterback position like they would do by getting Aaron Rodgers, like John Elway did by paying Peyton Manning nearly $100 million, making him the highest-paid quarterback. That's where John Elway went wrong.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Okay, Zach, take me down quarterback priority list road here. Number one priority, try to trade for Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, is that, if that's an option and the Packers are saying, yeah, we'll play ball, is that the number one priority at quarterback as far as what they could achieve?
It absolutely is from the Broncos' perspective. For me, it would be Russell Wilson. For the Broncos, with the connection they have with Aaron Rodgers, it absolutely is Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so you're going number one priority is elite quarterback. And I'm not even, you know, I'm talking elite, not Jimmy Garoppolo, right. Not Carson, yep. Wentz, none of those guys. So that's number one option. Assuming the Packers, the Seahawks, the Cardinals even, because I know you and I are kind of more on that Murray train. Assuming that doesn't work, what's the next plan for the Broncos at quarterback?
Are you asking me or are you asking what the Broncos would do?
I'm kind of asking both. Answer both. Answer both. That's more fun
that
way.
I'll answer both. For me, it is go young. Go first-round quarterback and start that first-round quarterback from the get-go. And you know what? If that person turns out to be good, then you are set. If that person turns out to be bad with this very inexperienced coaching staff, you're probably going to be a pretty bad team and going to set yourself up to potentially get a very good quarterback in next year's class. So that's what I would do. However, I think the Broncos would try to get a quarterback to be able to compete now, to not embarrass themselves this season. And that is the Jimmy Garoppolo, the Kirk Cousins. And there are ties, especially with Kirk Cousins. Clint Kubiak was his offensive coordinator. Clint Kubiak got a lot out of him last year. Now he's the Broncos quarterback coach. I would not be surprised if they went down that route.
Okay, so then what's the next route if the Broncos decide, okay, Jimmy G's a little too rich for us. You know, even the Kirk Cousins, I don't know that that's going to work. Maybe somebody beats him to the punch on that. What is the third option, both from Zach Stevens and from the Broncos?
I think it's draft for the Broncos at that point. For me, I'm not touching a Kirk Cousins. I'm not touching a Jimmy G. I'm not touching a Teddy Bridgewater. Those guys are too good to allow you to be bad. Brady, the Broncos have been too good to be really bad since Peyton Manning left. And you know what that's got them? It's got them stuck in this awful, awful cycle. You know how the Cincinnati Bengals got Joe Burrow? They were awful at quarterback. They put in Ryan Finley when they realized things were going really bad so that they could guarantee that they got that top pick so they could go and get Joe Burrow. The Broncos need to accept that being really bad for 1 year is okay. That's okay, because if you draft right, then you're going to be fine for the next 15 or 20 years. Or do what the Rams did. Don't be afraid to trade two first-round picks to go get the franchise quarterback that you believe you can make into a Super Bowl contender, a.k.a. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. Now, obviously, those two guys will cost more, but you don't have to convince yourself that they're Super Bowl guys. They've already won Super Bowls.
Yeah, no question, man. I mean, there's so many different avenues here that I think are so interesting for Denver, because I think so many people are like, it's Aaron Rodgers or bust. Well, if that doesn't happen, you've got to be ready. You've got to be able to make some plans here. So, Zach, I've got you for about a minute and a half here. Rapid fire time. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, JD. I didn't even warn JD. I don't warn anybody about this. We just go. Let's go for it.
Rapid fire.
Okay. Here, let's settle in here to rapid fire with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, first question. Will Von Miller be a Bronco next year?
Oh, great one. No, but it's certainly not out of the question.
Vaughn will not be a Bronco next year. Okay, will Melvin Gordon be a Bronco next year?
He really wants to be, so I'm going to say he takes a pretty good discount to stay.
Melvin Gordon, and I would love to see that, no doubt about it. Okay, here's one for you. Will Drew Locke be a Bronco next year? And if he is, does he have a realistic shot to compete with whoever that might be, a draft pick, whatever?
Yes and no. Yes, he's back with the Broncos. No, he is purely a backup with the Broncos for one more season.
Okay, a couple more house cleaning items then. Will Kareem Jackson be a Bronco next year?
No. Vic Fangio was Kareem Jackson's biggest supporter. Don't forget, last year George Payton cut Kareem Jackson to bring him back for half the salary. Kareem Jackson is gone.
If the Broncos do not select a quarterback with the ninth pick, what position are they picking?
Oh, boy, that's fantastic. I'm going to go right tackle.
I love that. I mean, either right tackle, edge rusher, inside. I mean, those are the needs, right? Right tackle, outside rusher, excuse me, or inside linebacker maybe? Are those the top three?
Absolutely, especially the talent that's at all of those positions. And, man, wouldn't it just be so ironic? Months after letting Vic Fangio go, after never investing in the linebacker position, you finally use a premium price on an inside linebacker. That would just be something.
Now, maybe we can start digging into the classes a little bit, too. It's fun. Zach, you've survived yet again another another one, man. You did great. Rapid fire, as always. Zach, love what you do, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next time.
Right on, Brady. Thanks for having me.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Check him out. He's growing. His coverage is amazing. And he's fun. He has a fun time talking Broncos. 50 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Join the legendary broadcaster Jerry Schemmel this season for UNC basketball coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Wow. Another show where we just fly through it, man. Started off great. Great guests. Corey Farringer, assistant coach for the UNC Bears. Bodie Hume joined us as well. Mike Brohard, who does not like The Rock in trolling Super Bowls. That was great, though. Great Rams talk from him. And, of course, Zach Stevens surviving rapid fire. Love doing it, folks. You guys make it possible. Here's what we got. Betting Across America. The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Then we have the UNC Bears Coaches Show. All that and more. Good night, Northern Colorado.